baptized. My soul, it got so happy and I'm satisfied. Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Just like the Bible, just like the Bible, just like the Bible said. Praise God, praise God. Oh, let's give him a hand clap of praise. Praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. My wife would say I would get a little piano happy. I could have stayed back there and sung a few more songs. Like it's for me and it's for you. It's for your children and their children too. It's something that nothing else can do. Do, do, do. Well, in Acts, the second chapter, you read it for yourself. No, you don't have to ask anybody else about the Holy Ghost that Jesus has given away. Oh, yes, it's for me. It's for you. It's for your children and all the children too. It's something nothing else can do. Hallelujah. In Acts, the second chapter, take a look at it for yourself. You don't have to ask anybody else about the Holy Ghost that Jesus has given away. Hallelujah. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Praise God. I want to thank and give honor, first of all, to the preceding pastor, Brother Worth, who's here tonight. We're so glad that we could be here with you. And there was another pastor before that, and I did preach for Brother Littles on time, and the sanctuary looks a whole lot different than it did then. There was red carpet, wasn't there blue pews or something? And then there was this corrugated, and yeah, this wasn't open, that wasn't open. And it was okay, it was a start, but my, hasn't Brother Worth done a wonderful job? Yes, he's done a wonderful job. And then one night we were kind of reminiscing how long it had been, Brother Worth, and I said, well, it was a while ago. I had just slipped in, and I didn't know you had service. I was coming from preaching somewhere else. And he said, sit with me on the platform. And then he said, why don't you preach for me tonight? And I thought, okay, that must be why the Lord gave me something while I was coming along. And the Lord blessed that night. And now I'm back 6 years later, praise God. And I remember that night so well because Brother Worth was standing here. And at the end of the service, he said, now I got to tell you folks something. I've been talking to a woman, praise God. And he told me, under oath of be my life, he said, don't you tell anybody what I told the church tonight. And I didn't, but he finished telling it. And then he married the lady, praise God. So anyhow, that's how it is. And we're here tonight, and we believe God. I believe God. Praise God. And I believe God's going to do something for us tonight, and we're going to try this. Just go ahead and put it up there. Hit it. Unless you believe that my clicker might. You think it'd work from up here? You want to try it? Yeah, bring it up here. We'll see if it works. If it doesn't, we'll go back to the old way. Praise God. I got a scripture. And it's always good since you're going to preach that you might have, is this the way it goes that way? And that goes back way? Okay, all right. Okay, at straight at what? Okay, right there in the air. Okay, we're going to try it. And if it doesn't work, we'll go to plan B. It's good to have scripture. So we're going to start off with scripture. It's in Mark chapter 16, verses 17 through 18. And these signs shall follow them that believe. underscore that in your Bible. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Put your Bible down. We're going to ask the Lord to help us tonight. Jesus, as we navigate the waters of Scripture, we pray that, God, you would prick some hearts. And matter of fact, like I was praying tonight, we pray that something would happen to us. We pray would we be challenged. We came with an idea of what we were going to allow to happen. But I pray there'll be something happen to us tonight that we did not forecast. We pray for an awesome explosion in our spirits. We pray for a marvelous challenge of atomic nature in our soul. And God, when we leave this place, we're asking the Holy Ghost will have had its perfect work. In your name we pray. And everybody said amen. Now turn around to five people and tell them he's going to preach to me. Worked. Praise God, you can be seated. We're in business. Now, sometimes Scripture, you can understand it a little bit better by understanding what it does not say. This Scripture that I've read to you, it doesn't say, these signs shall follow the preachers. These signs shall follow the apostles. These signs shall follow extra special evangelists. Now, if I understand anything about the Scripture, and I believe I do, believing is the baby step in the process of salvation. Would you kind of agree with me with that? Because you have to believe, and you have to believe that he is, not they are. He is, not they are. I'm glad I believe that. Praise God. But that's the baby step we take in our relationship with God. And the Bible said, these signs shall follow the baby step takers. Now, I'm going to preach to you tonight since it's Pentecost, and I wanted to be kind of whatever. I want to preach to you about the apostolic Pentecostal method. The apostolic Pentecostal method. And when I'm done, well, we'll see what happens. In North America, at least, we've got these ideas, two of them that are in our minds that have been placed there by who knows what. We have this idea that we're going to have church when we get to church, and we're going to get healed when we get to church, and we're going to have a move of God when we get to church, and that's where the presence of God is going to be in. And I'm not against church building, as I told you. Brother Worth did a fantastic job. This is a beautiful place to come and be, but however, we'll see what happens. Does it really have to happen in the church? And then we've got this crazy idea, and I've been preaching and trying to talk to and move and trying to push the congregation that I pastored for 35 years. That's a long time. I've told them that they need to get somebody else, and they're not with me yet. But who knows? I might die, and they have to get somebody. That'd be all right. But it doesn't. You read it. We've got this idea, if I can just get him to pastor, if I can just let pastor, well, I'm going to tell you, there ain't enough of Pastor Mark Cowan to go around in Augusta, Kansas to do everything that God wants to do in this city. We need to somehow come into the place where we are meshed with our forefathers in that apostolic doctrine. It's not apostolic just to wear your hair right. There's a method that God put here that he wants us to get a hold of. I'm not against preachers because I are one. I'm not against pastors because I am one. But there's something we need to get ready. We need to get ready for an awesome move of apostolic Holy Ghost revival that is outside the church, that is outside the ministry. Okay. So I'm going to give you a Bible. Some of you are back there and you're thinking, that guy's an idiot. He needs... We have got this idea. I just get him to church. I can just get pastor. Now, I love pastor, and I think pastor's a neat guy, and we've meshed and connected, and I believe that's a connection. But, honey, if we wait on pastor, he might be out of town, and there might be somebody that needs God. There might be somebody that needs the salvation. You've been here long enough to be able to tell him about it. Okay. Sit down. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in the temple they had built. They didn't have time to build a temple. It's going to come a time when we're not going to have time to build as big enough churches as we need. Praise God. I believe there's going to come a time that we're not going to be able to contain what God wants to do in this end time. And you can think I'm crazy. I'm not crazy. I'm a fool for Christ. But I believe God wants to mesh us into a different dimension in the Holy Ghost, where we start seeing things happen and the preacher's not doing it. And it's not happening in church. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Wait a minute. And it filled No, you've got to be wrong. No, God didn't pour out his spirit in a measly old house for the first time. Tell me that's not so. It is. I've been over there. And where they say it is, it's a banquet hall on top of this guy's house. And it has arched open windows. And so they were up there, and that's how they heard him. They were there in the upper room. It was the upper banquet hall of somebody's house. Wait a minute. We got to get the church built. We don't have to get a church built. I'm glad we've got churches, but people can get the Holy Ghost at Walmart. Okay. Just wanted you to see that. Acts chapter 3. Now, Peter and John, now I agree they were preachers. They went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. That's about 3 p.m. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them. And they entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go to the temple, ask alms. Wait a minute. We're not in church, Peter. Here he was on the outside of the temple. Now, they didn't even have, they were borrowing a temple. They didn't have time to build a church. They were borrowing that temple. But this was outside in front of the gate, Beautiful. And there was a need, and there was a problem, and there was a situation. I believe God has called all of us and equipped us with the Holy Ghost to meet people at the point of their need, and it's time we quit harnessing it. Lay down in that front pew. Yeah, you. Lay down in that front pew. I don't know who you are, and you won't be mad at me, hopefully, with you. It's going by. Alms. Can you say alms? A little louder. Yeah, now your money's the life's dependent on it. Say louder. Alms, alms. And here they were, Peter and John, going with me. You're John. Come on. We're going to the temple. We're going to the temple. We're going to go to church. We're going to church, and he's yelling over there. Huh? Real loud. Sometimes we're so intense in getting to church, and we're so intent. We've got the thing down of church. We know how to do church, but do we know how to do Pentecost? Do we know how to do Pentecost? And they were going to the hour at prayer, and then, yeah, you're supposed to be yelling all the time. Look at this dude. You got any money? Let me see in your pocket. You pull out a $100 bill, please. You don't have any? I don't either. You might as well forget it, dude. We don't have any money. Silver and gold we don't have. But here they are out on the street corner. Here they're not in church. And they said, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And I said, oh yeah, that's right. Walking and leaping and praising God. And it didn't happen in a church. Now you can be seated for a little bit. In the 9th chapter, there was a proper Pentecostal. And God, this is kind of where we are sometimes. Peter was praying, and God in the house. You know, you can get revelations in your own home. Matter of fact, you don't have to wait till you get here to let the power of God come down, to let the Lord give you direction. You don't have to, because those are things that he's already given you, and he wants to help you. And if he's given you the Holy Ghost, that Holy Ghost can show up and show out no matter where you are, no matter who you're with, no matter what you're doing. Peter was fasting, getting ready, who knows for what. This proper Peter, the Lord had this sheet come down. You might have to do this. I'm not keeping up. Oh, there we go. There we go. I'm there now. That's where I'm at. And the sheet came down with all these disgusting animals. And God said, Peter, arise, slay and eat. And because of tradition that Peter held so dear. Sometimes our traditions, sometimes, can I say this kindly, our apostolic traditions can cause us to say no to God. He told God no. How in the world would you tell God no? Here's God in the middle of this house talking to you in person and said, but I want you to... No. I've never done that before. Happened 3 times. And about the 3rd time, there was a knock on the door. there's this man named Cornelius. He was one of those unclean Gentiles. Oh, I don't know how far I can go here. I'll try to be nice with the count, and I hope you can straighten out the mess when I leave. But sometimes we want to uphold our thoughts and our ideas when God wants to expound the base of His power and His glory, and when God wants to bestow His wonderful Spirit on someone. There might be somebody at your job that's an absolute horrible person. There might be somebody that you're working with that's chosen a different lifestyle, and God says, I want you to talk to them. No, I can't. Oh, God help us. I worked with a lady that thought she was something else. She was living with another woman. Well, we can't be kind to her because we what? They're unclean. They're ugly. But God tells us it's time for the Holy Ghost to move. If God doesn't help this world, there ain't nothing else that's going to help it. And I believe God wants us to help through us. Okay, now I'm going to try to behave. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all of his house. So he was a good egg, but he was a Gentile, and the Jews didn't have anything to do with the Gentiles. And he saw evidently about the ninth hour of the day, the angel of God coming and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, you know, we don't think God can talk to anybody but us. That's drier than dry. We don't think God can speak to anybody but us because we've got the truth. Well, then we better be blurting it out. The reason that God had to come down and talk to Cornelius on purpose is because the Jews would not do what God told them to do. He says, you're going to be in Samaria and Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. And they didn't do that. Don't force God in the corner. He'll go there. He'll do what needs to be done. And when they looked on him as afraid and said, what is it, Lord? He recognized him as Lord. And he said to him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for memorial before God. Did you see that? Cornelius addressed him as Lord. When the Jews would not go to the Gentiles, God went. There's something in that. And I don't know what time you quit, and you don't have a clock, but I do have a watch. But now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Wow. Now, we go in here a little bit further. He came into the house. He came into the house. There was no temple. There were no nice fancy pews. There was not an organ. There was a Leslie and an organ without a Leslie. You got two. See, you got one with and one without. And there was no baptistry tank. There was no pulpit. There was no all this stuff that we've come. But they were hungry for a move of God. And Peter, having got through his knucklehead what God wanted to do, can I say that there are things that God wants to do with you folks right here in Augusta, and we've got to have our brains blasted out of our stuck-in-the-mud roadway. Went to the house. Preached. And while he was preaching, Verse number 44. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Oh, wait a minute. We're not in church. The Holy Ghost can't fall. Tell that to the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost wants to fall, when the Holy Ghost wants to touch somebody, when the Holy Ghost wants to heal somebody from degradation and sin. Had this one girl, she was seeking the Holy Ghost. And she called the pastor. She said, something came over me. I had praise music on, and I was just worshiping the Lord, and I was washing my dishes at home. And the presence of God, she said, I never felt like she was a new convert, had just been recently baptized, recently repented of her sins. And all of a sudden, she said, I just started talking stuff I didn't know. And it went on for a good long time. When God wants to pour out the Holy Ghost, we should let God pour out the Holy Ghost. When God wants to touch somebody, no matter where it is. I'm going to tell you about a couple, and then I got to go on because I got to, well, I was in school. You remember? You came to our school. That's right. While you were going to school, I forget what you did. You were observing or something or doing something for your school, schooling. And there was this girl there. She was just a measly recess aide. And my office was here, and then the break room was back there. And she was there, and it wasn't church. And she came in one day, and I said, Ann, what is the matter with you? She was sobbing. She was weeping. And she just said, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to lose it. I'm going to lose it. And I thought, what in the world are you talking about? And she told me later, she said, they had the one son, and he was 12 or 13, and they tried to have another child, and they couldn't. And then she became pregnant, and lo and behold, there was a cyst. And this cyst, the doctor told her, would not allow that baby to grow. And she, oh, I'm gonna lose it. I said, that's crazy. So we're gonna pray. We're gonna pray at Whittier Elementary in the break room. Separation of church and state, hogwash. I got the Holy Ghost down in my soul, and God didn't separate me from His Spirit when I walked into Whittier Elementary and when there's needs. I had the church pray. We prayed right there. 3 weeks later, she comes into the break room again from her doctor's appointment, just sobbing, it's gone, it's gone, it's gone, it's gone. I thought, Lord, did she lose that baby? I thought you said she wasn't going to lose it. And I said, Ann, what's the matter? The cyst is gone, and I'm going to have this baby. It wasn't in the church, but there was a need right there that presented itself, and I was there. Lo and behold, she had that baby. And then pretty quick, she said, Milby, I'm pregnant again. You can quit praying. And her baby just graduated from high school. Her last baby just graduated from high school. And they gave me this T-shirt I still have. And it, because I tell everybody, some people say, well, how can you be so crazy? I said, I take vitamin J every day. And they said, what is that? I said, it stands for J-E-S-U-S. And they made me this T-shirt. I don't wear it very much, but it's got a picture of the cross. And it says, got vitamin J. And on the back, it says, Jesus. Well, I don't know where to go now. There's so many other places to go, it's not funny. Let me just tell you about another one. We were in the, I work for the state of Kansas, have for several years now, and I'm intending to retire at the end of the year from the state of Kansas. I work for the Department of Children and Family Services, and you know how they are. And there's a girl there, one of my coworkers, in her hand. Now, I've got Renard's disease, and I don't know If you know anything about that, if your hands get too cold, they just turn white. I don't know all the ins and outs of it, but they hurt. And she had that all the time in her finger. They didn't know exactly. They thought it was Menards or whatever. And it was just totally, and it hurt her. She cried, and she'd have to miss work. And they told her finally, we're going to have to cut that finger off. I said, that's stupid. I didn't mean to hurt her, but I grabbed her hand right there in the office. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. She still works for us. She's still got all the fingers. And one of them's not white. I have to tell you, Jesus did something there in the DCF office. Oh, is anybody else feeling this? Now I tell everybody on this next one, in the 16th chapter, that the Lord had some fun with Paul. Because he saw a vision in the verse 16th chapter, verse number 9. The vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood in him a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he'd seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia. Surely gathered the Lord who called us to preach the gospel unto them. When they got there, there was no man, but there was a bunch of ladies gathered by the creek. And they had Pentecost at the creek. There was no church. There was no building. They were out in the open, and they were just taking what God had given them on the inside and sharing it on the outside. Okay, 6th chapter of the book of Acts. You know, sometimes in churches we've been more successful nowadays than back then. The apostles stood their ground. We kind of think the preacher did this, and the preacher should do that, and the preacher should do this, and the preacher should do that. And I've pastored church for 35 years, and sometimes I'm still fixing this and fixing that, and it just, my head just popped open, and I thought of something I need to fix. So that's the pastor's job that he gets. Now, there was a grumbling, and I know nobody in here ever grumbles, right? Nobody gets, you never hear anything like that, right? Well, I'll tell you, I do. And they wanted the preachers, I really believe this is what they wanted to do. They wanted the preachers to go around and serve bread to these Grecian women, widows, that were neglected in the daily administration. And the apostle said, whoa! You got enough people around here to do that? He put it right on them. He said, now I want you to choose you out people that are full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and I want you to appoint them over that business. And there were 7 social service workers of the First Apostolic Church. What a great title, because they were giving bread out and giving it out to the widows that were grumbling. And the apostle said, we are going to give ourselves continually to prayer and to the word of God. There's sometimes you need to take a load off this guy's shoulder and let him give himself continually to the word of God in prayer. I think it would be wonderful if some of you men just say, Brother Cowan, move aside. I've got that. Brother Cowan, move aside. I got that. You've got great things that God has called you to do. So here we go. Verse number 3 of chapter 8. There was havoc made to the church by Saul. People went here and there. Then Philip. Wait a minute, Philip. You're a social service worker.
He went down and opened the door to the Samaritans and began to preach Christ to them. And he didn't just preach. Oh, no. He baptized them.
Not a preacher. Social service worker. This is not the same Philip that was the apostle Philip. This is a different gent. Unclean spirits came out. Well, we got to wait for the apostles. No, you don't have to wait. These signs shall follow them that believe. And then the Lord just picks him up. I want that to happen to me someday. I told the group that was in my home Friday night, I said, I got this vision. I want to go and I want to be sat down in the halls of Congress. I want the Lord just to plop me down and I want to be able to preach to them. I don't know if that happened, but I want to. God did that to Philip. Now get this. There was a man. And I have to believe he was from Ethiopia. He was a great under, he was eunuch, great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. And he came to Jerusalem looking for something. Heard about the God of the Jews. There was only one problem. He could not go into the temple because of his condition that men had placed on him. And here he was out there and he was reading Isaiah. So, and all of a sudden in the middle of nowhere with no church and no preacher, there's a social service worker. And the Lord said, go join yourself to his chariot. I'm so glad Philip didn't. He went there. Do you understand what you're reading? And he preached Christ to him from that very scripture. And then the guy said, here is water. We know he had to be preaching baptism in Jesus' name because it pricked in his heart. And the Ethiopian eunuch says, here's water. What does hinder me from being baptized? And Philip, breaking protocol with what we think, baptized that Ethiopian eunuch in the name of Jesus Christ. Go 15, 16, 1700 years later, when the United Pentecostal Church broke open Ethiopia. There were people there that believed in the name of Jesus, that had the Holy Ghost. It had gone for years and years and years. Where did that happen? It was happened because a social service worker has believed the scripture. These signs shall follow them that believe the apostolic method, that it wasn't just preachers that could do the work of God, but everybody. Maybe just one more. What time do you get out of church? You probably already got out. Well, I'll be asleep by then. I'd hate to put myself to sleep, but that's happened before. Now, there was a certain Jew. If you're following along, I'm in the 18th chapter of the book of Acts. I'm talking about the apostolic Pentecostal method. And the certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scripture, came to Ephesus. And the man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. You know, there's some people out there that they don't know it all. And they don't have it all. And you, I've told some of our folks at church, you've got more than what the doctors of their denomination have, because you've received the wonderful baptism of the Holy Ghost. You understand baptism in Jesus' name. You know there's a mighty God in Christ, and you can explain that to them where they can understand it. And here was this good old Baptist boy. Good old Baptist boy. And Aquila and Priscilla just happened to hear him. Oh, that was nice. We'll pray he gets the revelation. No. We're not going to miss out on this opportunity. Praise God. Here's Apollos. Come on, Apollos. You're so good. You're great. But sit down. I want to tell you a few things. You know that baptism that you're preaching? It's archaic. Jesus came along. Jesus died for our sins. Jesus washed them away. And Jesus wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost, and it'll make your preaching so much powerful. And he bought it hook, line, and sinker, because it was the Word of God. Yeah. Praise God. And it wasn't preached to the preacher by preachers. It was preached by lowly tent makers that had the What would happen? You can go sit by your wife. What would happen if Aquila and Priscilla said, he's not. I know we got a problem in our world. I know things are difficult. I know we got a problem in our church world. We got a lot of stupid things going on. But are there any Aquilas and Priscillas? Instead of just talking about it, have we ever went to them and talked to them? I did something that was, you can throw stones at me if you want to. I felt the Holy Ghost. I was driving by the Four Square Church in our city. The Lord said, go in. That's a Four Square Church. I'm an apostolic Jesus name holy roller. Go in there. They lived in the church. And they had two little children, his wife and him. And they were in the sanctuary, and their chin was dragging. And the Holy Ghost said, go in there. I prayed with them. I felt the power of God come down to encourage them. There was a need there. And they told me later, we were just deciding on how we were going to leave this place. You know what I did? I invited him to go with Bible study with me. And I'm teaching Search for Truth. And guess what? He did. God, the apostolic method is not just this. I'm glad for this. It's not just this. It's this. It's out there. I don't know where all you work. Why can't it happen at Starbucks? When that person that's paying for your Starbucks drink. What? And when she starts opening up to you, Jesus' name, the power of the Holy Ghost. I was in the bank one day, and this lady, she was a teller, and I knew her for quite a while, and she said, "Our church is getting all messed up." She knew I was Pentecostal. And I said, "Well, what's the matter?" She said, "There, we've got a preacher and we've got a music minister that's trying to make us Pentecost." I said, "Well, what's the matter with that?" "Well, I want my little Baptist church back." And then I started talking to her about the Holy Ghost. She said, "What in the world are you doing to me?" She says, "I feel goosebumps all the top of my head to the bottom of my feet." I said, "You need this Pentecost, ma'am, in the bank." We was in the post office line one day, and there's this Georgia, and I just love Georgia. She's a black lady, just precise and wonderful, and she was telling me her problem. And I, right there in the post office line, I thought, well she may never come to church, but I've got a need that I've got to minister to right now. And I laid my hands on her, and I started speaking in tongues right in the post office, and she felt the power of God. We need to quit housing it. We need to quit putting God in a box. We need to quit saying it's only the preacher can do it. God wants you to do it. God wants you to do it. God wants you to do it. God needs you. God needs you. Why can't it happen in the school building? Why can't it happen in the city council? Lord knows we need some of this in the government. Praise God. I've been praying, God, give us some people that'll run for office, that'll get elected to office in the Senate and Congress, that'll change and rearrange this crazy world. I know you all can't be pastors. I know you all can't be evangelists, but you can all be believers. And the power was going to follow the believers. The signs was going to follow the believers. And we need those signs. And we need that power. And we need that glory. Sis, do you know that song, "If You Can Use Anything, Lord"? Yeah, come on, let's play that. Can you use anything? Can you play it? "If You Can Use Anything, Lord, You Can Use Me." Now, this little preacher didn't come in here just to play around. God wants me to tell you, He's looking for you. He wants to commission you tonight to do the work that He's had in the Bible for years and years and years, and we refuse to take hold of it. I'm too timid. Come on now. I couldn't do that, but God can. Let's stand. Can we just come down here at the front? Can we do that? What about your high school? You know, when I was going to high school, kids would come to me and ask me if I'd pray for them. Why? I carried my Bible all around with me everywhere. You know what they called me at high school? They said, "Preacher." Thank you. Sometimes that meant as a derogatory thing, but I was proud to wear it. God. You. And that's odd. You got more men here than you got women. That never happens. Praise God. You're on the right track, brother. Hallelujah. You. At your elementary school, God wants to use you. God wants to use you. I'm going to pray for you right now. Jesus, we pray everything that this dearly lovely girl is learning here at this New Life Church, that it will God just fill something in her spirit. Just fill something in her spirit. And God, she'll point, just be like that little girl that was in Naaman's house. God, that said, I know what can be done. We pray, God, that, oh, Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Is there anybody sick at your work? Lay hands on them. Pray for them. Is anybody going through a divorce mess? Pray for them. Pray for them. You. Shh. If, what Kiwi? If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.